2 Chronicles 36, starting at verse 11. Zedekiah was 21 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 11 years. He did evil in the eyes of the Lord his God, and did not humble himself before Jeremiah the prophet, who spoke the word of the Lord. He also rebelled against King Nebuchadnezzar, who had made him take an oath in God's name. He became stiff-necked and hardened his heart and would not turn to the Lord, the God of Israel. Furthermore, all the leaders of the priests and the people became more and more unfaithful, following all the detestable practices of the nations and defiling the temple of the Lord, which he had consecrated in Jerusalem. The Lord, the God of their fathers, sent word to them through his messengers again and again, because he had pity on his people and on his dwelling place. But they mocked God's messengers, despising his words and scoffed at his prophets, until the wrath of the Lord was aroused against his people and there was no remedy. He brought up against them the king of the Babylonians, who killed their young men with the sword in the sanctuary and spared neither young man nor young woman, old man or aged. God handed all of them over to Nebuchadnezzar. He carried to Babylon all the articles from the temple of God, both large and small, and the treasures of the Lord's temple and the treasures of the king and his officials. They set fire to God's temple and broke down the wall of Jerusalem. They burned all the palaces and destroyed everything of value there. He carried into exile to Babylon the remnant who escaped from the sword, and they became servants to him and his sons until the kingdom of Persia came to power. The land enjoyed its Sabbath rests. All the time of its desolation it rested until the 70 years were completed in fulfillment of the word of the Lord spoken by Jeremiah. In the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, in order to fulfill the word of the Lord spoken by Jeremiah, the Lord moved the heart of Cyrus, king of Persia, to make a proclamation throughout his realm and to put it in writing. This is what Cyrus, king of Persia, says: "The Lord, the God of heaven, has given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he has appointed me to build a temple for him at Jerusalem in Judah. Anyone of his people among you, may the Lord his God be with them, and let them go up."
Guys, have you ever made a decision that was just bad? Or have you ever seen someone else make a decision and you thought, probably shouldn't have done that? An area of my life I hate to go the wrong way, it's in a cafe. I hate food envy. So when I get to a cafe, I ask everyone, what are you getting? What are you getting? Because I don't want to be the fool sitting there with a salad while someone else is eating a burger in front of me, right? I must make sure I make the right decision at that moment. One of my friends, I'm going to throw her under the bus, she's great, but she hasn't quite figured this out. She was always a bit quirky with food when we were growing up. I remember in high school, she served us corn waffles, and I was like, they do not go together, right? She just is a bit quirky with her food, likes to try things out. I just have this clear memory. We went out to a cafe. It was our housemate's birthday. And we get there, we sit down, we get the menu. I start up. Okay, what are you getting? What are you getting? What are you getting? She goes, I think I'm going to try this one. It's got spelt amaranth, quinoa, and brown rice coconut porridge with rose petals, burnt sesame, and roasted pepitas. I know from the lack of words I know in that sentence that is a bad choice. And I tell her, I'm like, man, do not get that porridge. It's going to be a mistake. You could get bacon and eggs and you're going to get porridge. And what does she do? She asks the waiter, hey, I was thinking about getting this porridge. It's got some petals in it. What do you think? And he's like, oh, he starts gushing. It is so good. It's the best thing on the menu. Everyone loves it. People come back for it again and again. You've got to get it. You haven't tried it, you've got to get it. And she goes, oh, I'm sold. I'm getting the porridge with petals on it. You and I both know that was a mistake, right? And she realizes once she tastes the consequence of her decision. And she just turns to me with a smile. Hey, Ames, do you want to try some of mine? And we'll swap and I'll have some of yours. And I'm like, no. But we've all been there, classic victim of food envy. But tonight, it's our last in a series of indispensable life lessons about choosing well is tonight. So I want you to think, who are you going to listen to? And will you choose well. Last week, Josh helped us remember Josiah, right? He's in 2 Chronicles. He was the good king, the last good king in this book. And this chapter, chapter 36, describes Josiah's sons and one of his grandsons. And most of these men, of them it is said they did evil in the eyes of the Lord. They did evil in the eyes of the Lord. So Zedekiah, the last bad king, that's where we started. Why would we want to remember him? He was an evil guy. Why would God want us to remember him? Well, by remembering Zedekiah, we can learn what not to do. So verse 12 and verse 13, it says, he did evil in the eyes of the Lord his God. He didn't humble himself before Jeremiah the prophet, who spoke the word of the Lord. He also rebelled against King Nebuchadnezzar, who made him take an oath in God's name. He became stiff-necked and hardened his heart, and he would not turn to the Lord, the God of Israel. The tone of this book, the way Matt read it, the way I read it, it's kind of clear this is a bad thing. Don't be like this guy. And yet, very easily, we could actually rewrite Zedekiah's story so it sounded exciting and liberating. I want you to imagine this. Zedekiah is king of the hills, right? It's this day, this age. I'm flicking through Facebook and I see an article. Ah, new king leaves strict religious upbringing. I tap on it. I start reading. It says something like, Zedekiah was brought up in a Christian home. He went to William Clark Christian College, where the motto is, Christ our wisdom. It seems King Zed has found wisdom elsewhere. Zedekiah speaks out, oh, look, my parents and my school, they looked after me well, and they have really good morals, but Christianity, it wasn't for me. Yeah, I still feel like a connection with God, but I just needed to be free to make my own decisions. Does it sound familiar? You think of someone like Katy Perry, or if you're a Bachelor fan, Megan from The Bachelor, they get put in the media, and these stories come out about their upbringing and how they've been liberated. They've been freed from their Christian upbringing. And the underlying message to this that we hear is that you need to be free to express yourself. No one should tell you how to live your life. Only you can decide that for yourself. Listen to these lyrics. I wonder how quickly you'll figure out where they're from. It says, don't let them in, don't let them see. Oh, you're quick. Be the good girl you always have to be. Conceal, don't feel, don't let them know. Well, now they know. Can't hold back anymore. No right, no wrong, no rules for me. I'm free. Who knows it?
Let it go.
Let it go. A children's song that so clearly describes an underlying message in our culture. Through children's movies, pop singers, reality TV shows, and everything in between, we are told no one should tell you how to live your life. Be free, express yourself, only you decide. Given that is our context, how can I stand here and tell you Zedekiah did evil? Don't follow Zedekiah's ways. Because as soon as you walk out those doors, you go back into the world and you hear the opposite message. Zedekiah was just being true to himself, just following his heart. You can't blame him for that, right? Well, I'm hoping you'll stay with me and we'll figure that out as we go along. But in order to get our context, we've got to start with the context that this was written in, right? So we take it back. And I want to know what made them choose to follow God. What made them choose to accept what God said was right and what he said was evil? Because then that might help us figure out why we would follow God. So, the original readers, They're the remnant. It was mentioned in verse 20 that he, which is King Nebuchadnezzar, he carried them into exile to Babylon, the remnant. Okay? So this, the people who are reading this, they are that remnant. And they're in Babylon. And I was trying to get my head around, like, what would exile be like? We don't really know. Not many of us have been in war. So I want you to imagine it like this. God comes and he says, all right, that's it. You're banned from the hills. Until further notice, you can't go to Towers, you can't go to Cherry Bowl, you can't go to Golston Park, and you definitely cannot go to the tuck shop. You're out, okay? I'm moving you out to the west. You're not in the northwest anymore, you're in the definite west. There's even less cafes, it's going to be unfamiliar, it's going to be uncomfortable, right? It's not somewhere you want to go. You want to stay in your hometown, you want to stay in your hills. But they have been exiled. So these guys, they've been doing it tough out in the west for 70 years, drinking bad coffee. Some of them have died off. Some of them have been born out there. It's 70 years, guys, 70 years. And God's about to bring them back. Yes, we're going home. It's a good thing. But in order to come back, God says, okay, guys, we need to remember how we got here. Because I want you to choose well. I really want you to choose well. And that is why we have 1 and 2 Chronicles. So I'm trying to imagine, okay, I'm a remnant and I'm coming back and I'm reading 1 and 2 Chronicles. I'm reading about all the kings that have gone before me. Some chose well, some didn't choose well. And I want to know, if I'm one of these remnants, what would I be thinking? I was like, based on these kings, it could sound like if I choose to follow God, I do what's right and pleasing in his sight, things will go well for me. I won't be punished. But if I don't choose to follow him, if I do what's evil, then I'll suffer punishment. But that can't be it, right? Their reasoning for choosing to follow God can't be that he would just give them a better life on earth. Because that's not what we see. Things don't always go well for Christian people on earth. A psalm that resonates with me is Psalm 73. It says this. I envied the arrogant. I saw the prosperity of the wicked. They got no struggles. Their bodies are healthy, strong. They're free from common human burdens. They're not plagued by human ills. Surely in vain I've kept my heart pure. I've washed my hands in innocence, and yet all day long I have been afflicted, and every morning brings new punishment. It does not sit well with me that a decision to follow God will be based on what he's going to give us in this life. It just does not stand. So what is it? What is it that made them follow God? What is it that makes anyone in this room choose to follow God? I'm going to say the answer is quite simple. It's because God is God. God is God, and that is why he's worth following. And so I want to compare Josiah from last week with Zedekiah from this week. Josiah, the last good king who did what was pleasing. Zedekiah, the last bad king. And there's a key difference between them that I want to pick up. Back in chapter 34, God says to Josiah, you humbled yourself before God. You humbled yourself before me. He says it twice. You know it's important to him when he says it twice. And then Zedekiah, what did he do? What did he not do? He didn't humble himself before the Lord. So I want you to think, do you know someone who's legitimately humble? A legitimately humble person is not someone who just shuts you down when you give them a compliment. You know those people and you go, oh, you look great. And they go, no, I don't. I look ugly. And you're like, oh. Those people you go, oh, you sang so well tonight. And they go, I can't sing. Or there's people who go, you're so clever. No, I'm dumb. That's not a humble person. It's a deluded person. It's someone with low self-esteem, but it's not a humble person, right? They're just trying not to brag. But humility is actually just self-forgetfulness. Humility is self-forgetfulness. It is so beautiful when you can see someone and they just appreciate other people's strengths. They just celebrate them. They just go, look how good this thing is about this person. And they don't make it about themselves. We are so good at that. We're so good at making things about ourselves. You know the difference between, you're really good at guitar, I wish I was that good. And then the other compliment, you are so good at guitar, it was such a pleasure to listen to you play tonight. That was awesome. Can you see the difference? One, it ends up being about me. One, it's just completely about the other person. I've forgotten about myself in rejoicing and celebrating them. An outworking of humility is that you're able to actually trust that person. So think of this, I didn't actually talk to this person, but Jeremy Wyn Jones is great with numbers, right? That is a definite, clear strength of his, and something I celebrate big time, right? And because that is a strength of his, I seek him out, and I trust him when I need an opinion on something to do with numbers, when I need help with numbers, because he's better at it than me. I trust him with it. Now, I want us to apply that to your relationship with God. Remember, Josiah humbled himself. Zedekiah didn't humble himself. What does that look like in a relationship with God? Well, guys, I feel like we just need to make it less about ourselves and more about him, right? When was the last time that you just spent time celebrating God, just thanking him for being him, encouraging him? It's a little secret, or less of a secret now, but I love letters of encouragement. I think they're awesome. They breathe life into people. Imagine if we wrote God like a little letter of encouragement. God, I'm so stoked you're in my life. I just want to tell you some of the things I love about you. It's simple. I just want to remember some of the things that you've done for me in my life. I just want to remind you that you're incredible and I love you. Because as we remind ourselves of who God is, of what his strengths are, which he's got a lot of them, right? He's perfect in every way. But as we remind ourselves of those things, it's going to be a lot easier to trust him, right? So like, oh God, I realize that you know so much more about life than I do. Your wisdom and your understanding is so much higher than mine. I'm going to seek you out and I'm going to trust you as I try and figure this life out. So in keeping with the tone of this book, don't do what Zedekiah did and think that you know more about school or relationships or friendships or family than God does. We need to humble ourselves before him. Whether that's for the first time, whether it's for the 100th time, we need to seek his face. We need to choose him. And Josiah did this well. But can you think of who did the best? I think of Jesus just in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he's praying to God in anguish. But he goes, not my will, but yours be done. My emotions are raging. I'm upset. But not my will, but yours be done, Lord. He made the decision to humble himself before God. He trusted him. He followed him. And it's only because he chose well that day. It's only because Jesus made a good choice that day that I can stand here and tell you to choose well. So imagine if he went the other way. Imagine if he said, nah, my emotions are telling me to run and I'm getting out of here and I'm not going to the cross and dying. Then we wouldn't be here. Christianity would be futile. It would be useless. And if Jesus hadn't done that, we would have no hope of being with God forever. And that's it. That's why the remnant chose to follow God. It's not just they wanted to avoid punishment or they wanted a better life on earth. They just wanted to be with their God. Going home for them meant they were going to be with God. He was going to dwell with them. And how much more so, now that Jesus did choose well, he went to the cross, he came back to life, how much more so can we look forward to a day when we will go home and we will be with God forever? That is why I choose to follow God, is because he's incredible and I want to be with him. It's like that song, what is it, Latch, and it talks about, now I've got you, I'm never letting go. That's it. I'm not letting go of Jesus. Not because of what he's going to offer me, not because he makes life better here on earth, but because he's just amazing. He's better than any love I will ever find on earth. He treats me better than I deserve. And there is a day that we get to look forward to where we're going to be in heaven forever with him. Our culture will tell you, express yourself, be free, don't let anyone tell you how to live your life. I want to say, express yourselves. Yes, be you, do you. Whether that's someone who loves interior design or veterinary science or medicine or performing and creativity, whatever it is, you can express yourselves. But don't believe the lie that God doesn't have wisdom to offer you on how to live your life. Remember to humble yourselves before him. Remember who he is and trust him. Do not believe the lie that you'll be truly free without him. That's just a lie. And a life guided solely by your feelings, it'll just be unstable, it'll be incoherent. But choosing to follow God means you're free to express yourself. It means you are free to be you. But you also have a God who is stable and coherent and trustworthy to guide you through life. So who will you listen to? And will you choose well? Let me pray. Lord, I am so just glad that you have given us your word. That in the pages that sometimes we just don't turn to, there is still so much richness. There is still so much that you want to say to us. We just want to delight in you. We want to stand and we want to sing and we want to just tell you how great you are. Whether we're feeling that right now, we know it's true. Your character does not change. We thank you that that is something we can trust and we can rely on. Amen.